And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I shared recently that a couple years ago, a lady named Joyce Meyer, she was one of the original worship leaders at IHOP. She had a dream, and the dream, it was about the people who are committed to 24/7 prayer around the world to not grow weary, to not lose their passion. And in the dream, the Lord basically said, tell the old stories, plural, and that one of the things they needed to do was tell the stories of what God had done and how he had moved and all that had happened so that people would be reminded and stay stirred up. Probably last 3 months or so, I had a dream, and in the dream, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to tell the old story. Not stories, but old story. And from that point forward, he began to speak, not that he hadn't spoken before in my life, but in an intense way, and in a very intentional way, just about the grace of God. Because that's the oldest story of all. And that's the gospel. As a matter of fact, even though the gospel is referred to many times as the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, there's a place in the New Testament where it's referred to as the gospel of grace. Because that's the good news of the kingdom, that it's grace, it's all grace. We're saved by grace, we live by grace, we'll be received into his presence because of his grace. And this free gift of God's affection and activity on our behalf in Christ is what the whole Christian life is about. And part of the old story, back throughout church history, one of the things that happens in our day, and I thank God for fresh insight, fresh language, fresh words. There's really nothing new under the sun, S-O-N, but somehow modern Christians, particularly charismatic, thinks that God's like reinventing Christianity every conference. And so it gets really, we forget that everything God said throughout the 2,000 years of church is true. And everything builds on each other. It doesn't replace each other. We talk about replacement theology when speaking of Israel, that some people believe that God's replaced them with the church, or they don't believe that. But I see the biggest replacement theology issue is that, especially in charismatic circles, is that God's replacing the gospel with some new explanation every conference. And there are just some old things that are true, and we don't have to come up with cute and fancy words to explain them. Grace is a word. It's a great word. We don't hear it enough. And for so long, when talking to people about entering in to a fruitful life, where the presence and the power of God is released in a person and through a person, they would use two words to describe what that life's all about. They sang songs about it. And it was simply surrender and faith, or trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that they're like two twins. They go together, but there's some uniqueness about them. But it's about abandonment and confidence. That's one of the phrases I grew up hearing from teachers and conference speakers. They talk about the surrender of an abandoned heart, abandoning everything to Jesus and for Jesus, wasting your life on Jesus. And confidence, that faith isn't a begging thing, it isn't a pleading thing, it's a trusting thing. And so we've looked at that scripture, that place in 2 Corinthians 9:8 so many times in the last couple of months, because it's just amazing verse. It says, and God of limitless supernatural ability has already abounded above and beyond all grace, that you and I, always having all sufficiency in everything, may abound to every good work. Always having. And I wrote in the devotional day that his all sufficiency, that's a now word, always having. It's not a yesterday word, though it was true yesterday when you lived yesterday. It's not a tomorrow word, though it'll be true tomorrow because you'll be living tomorrow. But it's a now word, always having. And the only way we can walk in that, we know it's going to be true tomorrow, but we can't walk in it tomorrow. We can only walk of it right now. And whatever you're dealing with, either on the inside or on the outside, circumstantially, relationally, or temptation, the attack of the enemy, his grace, all grace, you have right now the all-sufficiency of Christ. And so you treat it like a now word. You believe it now. You trust it now. You don't ask for it. You got it. You trust. You celebrate it. You thank Him for it. You praise Him for it. You believe it with your heart. Confess it with your mouth. True. Because it's true now. But there's a thing that I think believing that helps us come to that first like step in living a Christ-like life, a victorious life. One of the things that we looked at last week, those of us who got together, the men who just spent 2 days just going over Scripture, talking to each other, is that one of the things that we shared was the reality is that you can't live a victorious Christian life unless you're surrendered. If you're going to experience living through you the life of the Lord, then He's got to reign in you as the Lord of your life. That's just true. But people can be surrendered and still not live a victorious life. Because there are many Christians who are fully surrendered, who go to the altar rail so many times, promising God they'll do better, but the problem is they're promising God they're going to do better. Instead of living by the grace of the all-sufficient Christ who lives in us, they surrender everything and then do their best out of gratitude for His love to live for Him, and that doesn't work. But of course, you can't live a life of faith if you're not fully surrendered. They have to go together. I want to read this verse to you that I've quoted a couple of times in recent weeks, but it's been one of those ones that's just blessed me a lot because it's so practical. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. This is a prophetic word about Christ. Verse 6. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us, and the government, the rule, the control, the authority, the leadership will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of His control, of His leadership, of His rule, His government, or of peace. I love that scripture. You see, first and foremost, before you can live a life of faith, you have to live a life of being abandoned to His government. The government cannot rest on your shoulders and mine. We cannot pretend to think we can live a fruitful, victorious Christian life if we're constantly complaining and resisting concerning the situations and circumstances He leads us into, or the situations we, quote, find ourselves in. The government rests on His shoulders. The government can't rest on your shoulders. There's no rest when you try to be in charge and in control of your own life, even in the smallest details. It creates enormous stress and panic and fear and anxiety, and then you start exercising your own control, and it flows out, then anger all comes out. The government rests on His shoulders. He's an absolute in control and in charge of your life. The devil's not. That may be news to charismatics, but they really aren't co-equals. It's not a fair fight. As a matter of fact, it says in Colossians 2 that God made a public display of that when He disarmed him, past tense, at the cross. We give Him, He has no authority. He has power. He's a powerful angel. But He has no authority. Jesus says He has all the authority. So if He has all the authority, there's not any left for really anybody else. It's amusing to act us, Western act like, and the devil act like we all have authority, but He has all authority according to Matthew chapter 28. But we give Him authority, we relinquish His authority when we come into agreement with Him. We do that through fear and through worry and just saying yes to sin. You with me? But if we live our lives with the government resting on His shoulders, acknowledging that, and where there is the increase of that in our lives, as we live a perpetually abandoned life, a repentant life. Repentance is, when you live a repentant life, it just means you live in contemporary surrender. That you give Him permission any day to show you anything else that's really not under His government, but you're still in control of. And it brings a lot of frustration when you're living in resistance to the King of Kings. When you're constantly complaining and worrying and being afraid because you're afraid of what he might do. Or that when you get there, he won't be faithful. You see? And all that flows out of unbelief, that we don't really believe if he's in control, he's going to do it right. If he'd let me be in control, I would do it better than he would. Sounds like Adam and Eve. And besides all that, if I let him in control, I'm going to get there, it's going to turn out to be a mess. Or he's going to lead me into some place, this is going to be horrible. Wherever he leads you, in the now, his grace is always, you always have the all-sufficiency of an indwelling Christ, abounding grace, surpassing grace. And so based on that, you've proven, and I've proven how woefully incapable we are on our own to live any kind of joy full of glory, peace that passes understanding kind of life. So why don't we allow the government of your personal life, your daily walk, to rest on his shoulders. And he says, if you'll let that happen in an increasing way, you'll increase in peace. And God wants us to experience the peace of God. If you're born again, you're at peace with God. But he wants us to know the peace of God. Can you imagine if you could get inside God's head and know how he, what kind of peace he knows? That's why it says in Hebrews 4, we enter into his rest. He doesn't just give us rest. He wants us to experience his rest, his absence of anxiety, his absence of fear, his absence of worry. So I just give that to you as a practical word, one of those prayers. When you find yourself in something suddenly or you see it coming, just to be able to celebrate. Say, Lord, I believe the government rests on your shoulders. And I trust that when I get there, what I know right now, that your grace is all sufficient now, that's just going to be another one of those everythings where your grace covers too. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.